The following talk is from St. Michael's Fulwell, a gospel-centered community for Fulwell, Teddington, and beyond. Our passion is to see every life following Jesus. For more information, visit our website, stmichaelsfulwell.co.uk.
And we're going to turn to the part of our service now where we look at the Bible, at God's Word. And in a second, Kenny's going to come and read it to us. But before he does that, we've got a guest speaker today, Jez, who I've lost. I thought I'd done a runner. He's still with us. And before he speaks to us, and before Kenny reads to us from the Bible, I thought we'd at least meet you, Jez, and find out a little bit about you. Jez, first of all, what is your full name? Is Jez your real name?
It's short for Jeremy, I guess, yeah. I think I read a little book or a magazine when I was age 13, 14, and it said kind of the coolest names. Liam was first, Jez was second, brackets not Jeremy, and that kind of changed my mind, so I was Jez ever since.
That day was the turning
point. Yeah, it was.
Wow,
yeah.
That's good to know.
I know, it's not great.
Do you mind being called Jeremy?
Only my mum really calls me Jeremy.
So maybe your mum and everyone at St. Michael's calls you Jeremy.
Yeah, we'll stick
with Jez. Okay, Jez, if you weren't here, what would you be normally doing at 6 p.m. on a Sunday evening?
Yeah, I would be just about getting ready for our church service down at St. Peter's down in Fulham. So I'm a curate or a pastor down in Fulham, and it was a church actually that planted this church. So kind of, I'm basically a smaller version of Ed Kendall kind of 10 years ago. So kind of, I'm in his house right now as well. So kind of, the dream is to be like Ed. It's my mantra for the next kind of few years. And that actually is a heart. We'd love to plant a church. We've got three little kids. We'd love after kind of our 3-4 years at St. Peter's to plant again and plant a church to somewhere else in London to tell more people about Jesus.
Fantastic. Yeah. You said you want to tell people about Jesus. We just heard from Lily all about how what Jesus meant to her and what about Jesus drew her to him. What would your answer to that question be? What about Jesus draws you to him?
Lots. Currently we're looking at 1 Samuel, kind of at St. Peter's, and how God uses weak people to display kind of his goodness and his kindness to us. So I think I see that every day kind of in my weaknesses. God still uses my mistakes for him and to work out good things. So I'm very grateful that Jesus is a God who loves me and even loves me with my mistakes.
Fantastic. Great. Well, we'll look forward to hearing you speak to us. God's Word.
Thanks, Johnny.
Wonderful. Right. I am going to invite Kenny up, who's got our Bible reading for us. And if you would like to find that reading, it is Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41. Kenny, what page is that? 1006. So 1006, Mark chapter 4, verse 35 to 41.
That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him."
Thank you very much. Great. We'll do kind of keep the Bible open, and there will be some handouts kind of being shared, I think, between you. So do, if you want to kind of doodle on your paper, do. I definitely find it helpful kind of to write things down if you want to kind of share some of those handouts. But it's great to be here. Thank you for inviting me. It's nice to kind of to hear about St. Michael's Lots and now to kind of be here. Why don't I ask for God's help, and then we can look at God's Word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can spend time together, time here on a Sunday. Please would you speak to us now. We do ask for your help. We know that you are a God who is active and cares about us. Please would you speak to us now as we look at your Word. Amen. Well, I know that all of us every day do at least one or two things. Every day we always ask questions. We will ask questions and give answers to lots of things. Things like, you know, how was your weekend? Did you want a coffee? Or how was your day yesterday? Those kind of questions are very normal. And then we have kind of more kind of important questions like, what was the kind of the Man U Liverpool score earlier today? I don't know the score, so I'm really hoping Man U kind of came back later on, but maybe not. Maybe some of you know the bad news already and don't tell me just yet, otherwise I'll be too upset. And then there's even kind of more important questions and more important answers. Things like, you know, will you go out with me? Or will you marry me? That's a pretty big question, and a pretty big answer is going to impact what happens there. Maybe even with exams, you've got an exam question in front of you, and you've got an hour to answer this question. And you know that your answer to that question will be important to the grade that you get. Or you're in an interview for a job, and they ask you a question, and you know the answer that you give will impact whether you get that job. Or even more seriously, maybe you've been in jury service before and you've been in a courtroom and they've asked you, is the defendant guilty or not guilty? Wow, like, the answer that you give to that question is really important and will impact that person's life for a long time. Now, questions and answers can be small and big, and they can be less important or more important. Well, I think today there's a question I want to ask us today that I think is really important. I think it may even be the question that we have, not just tonight, but in our lives. And the question that I want us to look at today is who is this guy? It's the end of our verses in Mark's gospel. Who is this, is what the disciples ask when they meet Jesus. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? That is a massive question that I hope some of you may have asked before in the past, or maybe even asked tonight. Who is this guy? Because the answer to that question is massive. The answer to that question changes everything in our lives. So that's where we are. We're looking a bit now at a small part of Mark's gospel in the New Testament. And this is all about Jesus and what he was doing on earth. And he's had a busy day. He's been healing people and doing lots of talking and speaking. And he gets on a boat and he has a bit of a nap and he rests. There's a picture of the boat that it may have been like. It's not that boat, but in the 1960s, they were digging by the Sea of Galilee, and they found this remains, and they worked out that this boat actually looked a bit like this. It was that kind of an open-plan boat, and you can imagine it being quite full of disciples, and you know, I'm not sure it would be that kind of promising to be out there on the boat, but that is the kind of boat that they would have had 2,000 years ago, a long time ago. I was once with some friends in Bournemouth, near Bournemouth, and we were going back to a little beach hut where we were staying that night, and there were clouds coming from the sea, coming towards us. And we're like, okay, so we need to get over that way, and the storm's coming this way, so we kind of walked a bit faster to get where we needed to go. And then suddenly we heard the rumbling of thunder. Okay, we need to walk a bit quicker. And then rain started, so we're now kind of pegging it, and we go up this kind of highland, kind of this big headland, to go down onto the beach where the kind of the hut is. And we're like running towards this storm, and there's thunder now, and there's lightning. And me and my friends, kind of, we're adults, and we are bricking it. We are really scared that this storm is coming from the sea, and we're getting more and more nervous, and the thunder is and the lightning is flashing before us, and we're kind of pelting it to get safe, to get in this hut where we can kind of dry off. We were adults, it was a few years ago, but we were terrified. Well, here we see a storm, don't we, and the fear that a storm gives people. Verse 37 in Mark 4 says this, a furious squall, which is kind of a thunderstorm, came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. This Sea of Galilee was often calm, but now, because of all the humidity and the hot air going down into it, it created a big storm, a hurricane. And you can imagine kind of the noise and the bustling of trying to get the water out of the boat, trying to stay balanced, kind of the panic. These guys were fishermen. They were pretty hardcore, and yet even they were panicked by this amazing storm. They were fearing for their life. That there was absolute chaos. There was chaos. There was this terrifying storm. This chaos. And yet, one person on the boat wasn't kind of following everyone else. One person on the boat was was sleeping. There's this terrifying storm, and then there's this kind of sleeping teacher. And that's kind of our first point, that there's this problem, there's this terrifying storm, and then there's this sleeping teacher. How can he be sleeping in this crazy storm? My daughter is a really good sleeper, which is a massive blessing. I do thank God for that most days. She's such a good sleeper that I can take her out of her bed. She's on a bunk bed. So tonight I'll get home, and maybe like 11 o'clock at night or 10 o'clock, I'll get her out of her bunk bed. And she's so good at sleeping that occasionally she might kind of wet the bed because she's such a good sleeper. So I get her off the bed, and I take her to the bathroom. I put her on the toilet. You know, she has a wee. I put her back, okay, asleep the whole time. It's absolute nuts. And then the next morning, I say, do you remember when I picked you up? No. Completely oblivious. You know, it's really impressive. but I'm not sure that's what's happening here. I don't think Jesus is just really tired and a really good sleeper like my daughter. I think there's something different. Because the disciples are on this boat, are seeing the storm, and are seeing the boat falling apart, and they're panicking. But Jesus isn't seeing that. Jesus is trusting in himself. He has a faith and a calmness because he knows that he is in control of this situation. And therefore, he can rest and he can sleep even through the craziest of storms. Now, if you're a Christian here, notice that there is a storm going on here and the disciples are in this storm. Just because you're a Christian does not mean that life is just plain sailing. In fact, I would say if you're a Christian, you'll know that life can get hard. Life can be challenging. Life can be tough. But Jesus is with you in that storm. He is on the boat with you. He doesn't promise to fix it all straight away, but he is there with you in your trials and in your storms. He can fix it, but when we get trials and storms in our lives, know that he is still there. Trials and storms do not mean that he is not with us, and he does not care for us. Okay, so that is the problem. They have a sleeping teacher, they have a terrifying storm. So what's the solution going to be? Well, I wonder, when you walk into maybe a school or in your workplace, are there people in your workplaces or your school who you fear? Maybe there's that teacher that you know. When you see them in your class, silence. That there is that kind of fear and respect for that teacher. Maybe you love them or you hate them, but when they walk in, you shut up because there's some sort of respect there. Or maybe it's a press conference and it's a big sporting occasion and the manager or the player is about to speak and there's people taking photos and asking questions, but then when they go towards the microphone, there's a hush. People want to hear, you know, what's he going to say? What is she going to say? Or maybe your big boss from out of town comes into your office and walks in. There's a hush in the office because, you know, the big dog is here. Well, let's read verse 39 and 38. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. And the disciples woke him and said, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" There was a chaos here in verse 38. "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" They are confused. Who is this guy? Who is this sleeping teacher? Who is this teacher who doesn't care about the storm or even care about us? Who is this? Well, this teacher has an authority. And this teacher stands up, and in verse 39, he got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. This teacher who was sleeping gets up and speaks. And this teacher can speak, and the elements, the wind, the wave, the storm, the clouds, the sea, they recognize his voice. Because they've heard his voice before. They heard his voice when they were created. Thousands and thousands of years ago, that they know the voice of their creator. And they listen to that voice, "Quiet, be still." And not just listen, but they obey it. And then suddenly there is complete calm. from the chaos of the storm to now the complete calmness. It's like kind of an infinity pool where you just kind of see it and it's just endless and it's so calm. Or going to like a spa day, just relaxing there, enjoying yourself. You know, that kind of music in the background they play, and there's like pipes or whatever. It's very calm, very relaxing. Suddenly all the noise, there's no noise now on the sea. The only noise you can hear probably is how breathless these disciples are, just exhausted about what they've just experienced. They are terrified. See, it's amazing how Jesus, in his words, can speak such clarity. Quiet, be still. And creation listens and responds to this man in a boat. Because the disciples, they feared the storm and they feared their boat falling apart. And now they fear Jesus, this one who has the power over the wind and the sea and the storm. Now, verse 40 says this. Jesus speaking to his disciples says, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" See, their faith was in the boat. Their faith was in what could keep them afloat from the sea, not in Jesus, the one who can control the sea. I remember a friend of mine lived in Canada. And in Canada, they have quite a lot of big storms. And his little girl, when a storm happened and she saw the thunder and lightning flashing outside and she heard it, she would run to the safest place she knew. She ran into the arms of her dad and gave her the biggest hug. And he would give her a big hug. And then they would sing for a few hours as the thunderstorm kind of passed by. She was most safest when she was closest to her father, when she was closest to her father to keep her safe. And the safest place for the disciples was not actually off the sea on the shore. The safest place for the disciples was on that boat in that storm because Jesus was there with them. Jesus, the one who has the power over creation, who was with them. Who is this guy who has power over creation? So we've seen the problem of the storm. We've seen the solution of it now being calmed by Jesus' words. And then we see the response. And I find this so interesting. They were terrified. They were shouting. They were sweating. They thought they were going to die. And now there's calmness. And yet what is the response from the disciples? Verse 41. They were terrified. They were terrified in this calmness. They could hear now the birds singing. It was complete calm. And they are now more afraid now than they were during the storm. They ask, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." There is a shock. There is a horror. Who is this? Who is this man in the boat with us who has this much power? What do we do? What should our response be? Now, many of you may know the story of Jonah and the whale, maybe as a kid's kind of story, or maybe you've read it before in the Bible in recent years. But Jonah is an amazing picture, an amazing story that points to Jesus. And Jonah happened thousands of years before Jesus. But I want to read you a few bits from the book of Jonah in the Old Testament, and try and see what are some of the links between Jonah's story and Jesus' story on the boat on the Sea of Galilee. It should be on the screen for us. Hopefully you can read that. I'll read it with us. A few verses I picked from Jonah 1. Try and see what the links could be. "Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. All the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God." And we skip a few verses, and Jonah is sleeping kind of on the boat. "And they then took Jonah, and they threw him overboard, and the raging sea grew calm. At this, the men greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord, and made vows to him." Okay, so what are things that we see that are similar? We see two guys sleeping in Jonah and in Jesus during a storm, a crazy storm where people are afraid for their lives. We see disciples, of which some are fishermen, so they're quite hardcore. They're used to being out on the sea all the time. They're afraid. In Jonah, we have sailors. They're pretty hardcore, and they're terrified. And then we see the action. We see a sacrifice by Jonah being thrown out into the water. And we see Jesus speaking those words, "Quiet, be still." And both the sacrifice and the words, something happens. Calm. There is now calmness on the sea. And the response to this calmness for both sides is fear. Is fear. And so much fear that the sailors in the book of Jonah are so afraid that they now worship the Lord. They realize that he is the God of creation. He is the God that they need to worship. And they then vow to worship him. And they now praise him. That's the response of the sailors in Jonah. This story that we now see in Jesus is very similar. So what's the response of the disciples? If it's to praise God there, then maybe they should be praising God here. And yet there's been no sacrifice. The one on the boat is the one they are meant to be praising. The picture of Jonah shows us the picture of Jesus, of him being not just a nice guy, but somebody who can control the seas and the waves. Only God can do that. Only God can do that. Who is this man that even the winds and the seas obey him? Fear for the sailors in Jonah's time led to faith, and they believed in the Lord. And we see that fear for the disciples leads for them to have faith and to trust in this Jesus, this one who they can call Lord. This sleeping teacher also is a creator of all things. Yeah, who is this guy? Who is this guy who sleeps? Who is this guy who doesn't care about us and yet now doesn't fear the storm? Who is this guy who controls creation? Who is this one who sends fear on the disciples? His name is Jesus. He is the Son of God who came to save. Now you may think the story of Jonah and Jesus, yeah, that they're similar, but why is Jonah thrown into the sea and Jesus not? Well, Jesus isn't thrown into the sea. There's no sacrifice on that day. But there is a sacrifice later on in Jesus' life. Later on, he walks willingly to a hill. And there he is hung on a cross. And he dies. And on that cross, he says three words. He says, "It is finished." Just like "quiet, be still." He says, "It is finished." See, on the cross, Jesus sacrifices himself to be the one big storm that we all will face. The storm of death and the storm of life. And Jesus died on that cross, said, "It is finished," so that the storm of death would be stopped. So that we can have life after death. A pretty hardcore Roman centurion was standing by the cross and had witnessed thousands of men die on a cross. It's embarrassing, it's shameful, it's disgusting, it's naked, it's bare. And it's just part of his job. And it's brutal. And yet this man, this centurion, looked at this guy on the tree shouting, "It is finished," and then dying, and said these words, "Surely this man was the Son of God, the one that even the seas and the winds and the waves obey." Right now, you may be facing many different storms. Storms at school, storms at home, storms in your workplace and in your family. Storms are so regular, aren't they, in our lives? Even in our church, a friend of mine just last week found out that his company is going bust. And he's like, "Flip, what do I do? Does this mean that I've got to now leave London, or can I find a new job? And him and his wife are nervous about that. Who is this guy? Who is this man? They answer that with he is a man who can bring me peace and joy and love. I can trust in God now, even in the storms of this life. My friend can trust in Jesus because he knows he has conquered both death and is in control of all things. He is the Son of God. He is the creator of the universe. He is the savior of the world. So at the start, I asked you the question, who is this guy? Who is this guy that the winds and the seas obey? This guy that died on a cross? This guy that to the world looked weak and pathetic, yet in his words, the world listened and calmed. And death was broken and its sting was lost. I'd love you to answer that question in your own hearts. Who is this guy? I really believe that that is one of the most important questions, if not the most important question you could ever ask yourselves. Who is this guy? Your answer changes everything. Why don't I just have a moment of silence, and then I'll pray and the band will come up. Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him. Oh Lord, we have a great Lord that we can worship today, because you are a God who is in control. And you are not under the storms of this life. You are above it, and you can control it, and you will use it for your good, even in hard times. When there are tears and when there's gladness, you control the wind and the waves. You can control our lives and the storms in our own lives now. Lord, help us to run to the most safest place we can, the place that is both fearful and amazing, and that's at the foot of Jesus, the one who has complete control over all things. We thank you that this man is also God and has come to save us. Father, help us this week, if we are believers, to trust in this God and to put our hope in him each day, to know that we can trust in him, the one who has control over all things. Thank you that you know us intimately and you love us and you care for us. And maybe we're here and we're not sure yet how to answer that question, who is this guy? Father, by your Spirit, would you shine a light on us? Would you help us understand that we can't just sit on the fence, that we need to decide who he is? Lord, please will we put our trust and our hope in you tonight. Amen.